Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Influential She. It's our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt. And we're just so glad that you tuned in. We're excited today because we're going to be talking about the high leverage practice of self. And you know, Mel, this is something that we've talked a lot as we've developed Influential She that, boy, even at this age, we are continually uncovering things about ourselves. And in fact, as we work more in Influential She, we're not so certain our husbands are really happy as we're claiming our true authentic selves, because these are people that have been in there probably forever and we're letting the full person come out.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've always stated this in a way that I really love. It's like, what do you feel like when you're really in the groove, or, you know, that feeling when you just know you're in the place and the space that you want to be. And that's a really powerful spot because you're content and you feel good about things.
And it is such a flow, isn't it, Mel? I mean, it's like when you're in with people and in relationships with your family and your friends, and you end up in these conversations where your entire authentic self is out. And it's just, you're in a space of, it just feels like flow to me, where you go, wow, okay, I was just like, I wasn't holding anything back. I was just really happy in this space. My values were playing out, but it was just, you know, really not being disconnected. It was being completely connected with who I am.
I think it was one of the first conversations you and I had when we started this work that we knew it was so core to everything else we were doing within Influential She. And I think it was the start and has continued to be a thread throughout every single one of the high leverage practices.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think at a young age, and one of the things that we would want to share with younger women about our experience is the sooner you can really understand yourself, because those values are deep seated and they're with you, and how they play out in your life can be massaged and developed and grown, but they are essential to who you are as a person. And there's many times that the world, others try to tell you to change yourself and to become and to do something different. So we are so excited today that we have a young woman who's with us, who's just had incredible life experiences already, to really just wrap about this concept and high leverage practice of self. Because I've known Becky Nelson, whom I'm going to introduce here in a second, for a long time, watched her grow up. She's the same age as one of my kids, but really got to know her and watch her. And over time, we have reconnected at different points along the way in her journey, because when you hear, she hasn't always been in the United States to even connect with. And when we were talking, she had a chance to visit the state capitol this year when I was in the Senate. And we were chatting about Influential She, and she'd become aware of this and said, you know, I'm really interested in this idea of self and how does self play out as a single woman who's developing both personally and professionally. So I'm just really happy to welcome Becky Nelson. You know, I'm going to let you share a little bit of your background, Becky, with our listeners. And, you know, your bug to travel really started in high school, didn't it?
No, absolutely. And thank you both, Mel and Deb, for having me on the show. I'm really, really excited. But yeah, I got the bug back in high school. I got to do a youth exchange and went to Spain, and it started snowballing from there. I got to go to Nicaragua and then Jordan and Israel. And that led into me wanting to study international relations and studying languages. And I got the opportunity to study abroad in China. And that really kicked in and knew I wanted to go back. And so after graduating, I went to China intending just for like a year to get my feet wet in the international realm. But then loved it so much, it very quickly turned into one more year. And 8.5 years later, I was still there. And it's very, very easy while you're there to just get very comfortable and curious and wanting to continue to explore and travel and meeting people all over the world. And so it was a fantastic experience. And then world events recently happened and landed back in South Dakota, but it kind of just came full circle. And it's been a fantastic journey and I'm excited to be back home.
So really, just for context for our listeners, this would have been in your 20s. Like, you had spent most of your 20s in China in your early 30s, right?
All of, right after graduating. So from I was 23 until came back when I was like 31, 32. So all like my 20s, I was in China.
So before we start this conversation today, I have to tell you, and I think both Deb and I feel this way, we're just really jealous of what you've been able to do.
So jealous.
Yeah. So I admire you deeply, but also, you know, you really have claimed what you're passionate about and what you love and what you do. And you figured it out when you were a young, young woman. So.
Oh, I even still feel like I'm figuring it out.
That never ends, Becky.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't ever end. But yeah, it definitely was unique. And 20s are very formative years. And I was in a much different environment to figure out these things. But very grateful for all the experiences and even challenges that I faced while living over there.
Okay, so in this concept of the high leverage practice of self, you know, leaving your family, going over to China is what you talk about, these formative years, and really working to develop yourself. Start by talking about some of the things that you observed that were the same between women of the United States and China, and things that were dramatically different.
Coming just off of my own observations again, China is massive. China is like 1.5 billion people, and there's going to be a huge spectrum of women. So there's not a blanket statement for all of them, but from what I observed, even across the country, I had the opportunity to live in a rural village to like a tier two city to Shanghai and Shenzhen, which are both tier one massive cities. Shenzhen's 12.5 million people. But discovering yourself is a very interesting process for the women over there. Many women, up until you're about 22 years old, your focus is education. You need to focus on that. You need to get a good job. You need to graduate. But then as soon as you graduate, unfortunately, a lot of women, they only have a year span from about when they're 22 to about 28, 29 to get married. And there's a high pressure to get married because that's just cultural expectation to get married, have kids. That leads into other cultural practices and other expectations for them. And so it's very, very difficult because a lot of women are wanting to develop themselves professionally, but also have that family and meet those familial expectations. But then once they hit 28, 29, there's a phrase in Chinese, unfortunately, they call shengyu, which means leftover women. And so after you hit that point, it becomes increasingly difficult to find a partner and get married. And even more so if you're highly educated, if you have a master's degree or a doctorate degree, or you're even running your own business, because there's some intimidation by men, or many different perceptions on what the woman is. And so my Chinese friends and I have continually had conversations about that, about wanting to find love for the right reasons and find relationships for the right reasons, but also not wanting to give up a career and so finding that balance. But the pressure can become increasingly difficult from outside, both from seeing friends getting married, and also parents are like, why aren't you married yet? When are you bringing a son home, or when are you bringing a boyfriend home? And it's not easy for a lot of women over there.
But Becky, so, you know, I know in our conversation before this podcast, we talked a little bit though, where it's definitely, there's a, you know, you can even claim it with a word there in China, but you felt like there was some of those same pressures here for women, even in coming back. Can you talk a little bit about that, where, you know, a lot of your friends are already married and so forth?
Social media plays a huge role into that. Observing life back in the United States from Facebook and talking with them, I think it's very easy for women in general just to be comparing, because you're putting your best foot forward. You're putting your best life forward when you're posting on social media. But then seeing friends back home, and they're having homes, they're having kids, they're having 7 years into a career or something. And I jumped around from jobs and was very blessed in that, from being able to experience. And really that ties into what I learned, what I really like and what is important to me, but also wondering, I don't have those things yet. So feeling like I'm falling behind and I'm not meeting those self-perceived cultural expectations. And will I ever achieve these things? It's kind of hard to sometimes gain those things if I'm continually moving and exploring.
So you talk about being in China during those formative years, and I think you're really onto something, that there's this self-doubt, self-reflection, self-wondering, yes, I value and want some of these things as family. And yet I also want these other things, particularly for myself, that I really value, such as opening up your mind, new perspectives, new cultures. I mean, obviously you love immersion because you've lived your life immersing yourself in other countries as an adult so far. So when you were in those formative years, Becky, talk a little bit about what you started to uncover about yourself when you were so far away and just really had to depend on really understanding you really well.
A lot of those understandings actually came through different trials and changes that I faced. Going through different jobs and getting into one and realizing jobs that were really, really challenging, but also there was outside circumstances that made me realize what was important to me and what wasn't as important to me. And maybe something wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. Like I had these expectations, something was going to turn out a certain way and it didn't. And then, so not only kind of reflecting on how much do I want to grasp and own it and how much it's like, no, this really is in conflict with what I want to pursue long-term. And so making those changes and shifting again. I lived in 4 different cities in China and 3 different provinces, and continually moving like really teaches you a lot about that. For better or worse, but with each one, I was able to kind of fine tune and hone, okay, what is important to me in a career, what's important to me, even like living environment and even different people I'm working with different, I worked with people from all over the world, and adjusting and being able to kind of adapt communication styles and working styles. And so it really forced me into really uncomfortable positions, but through that uncomfortable side to discover more of what I want. There's a fantastic quote by Van Gogh I love. I believe it's Van Gogh, that normalcy is a paved road, but no flower. It's comfortable to walk, but no flowers grow. And kind of became a mantra for me in these past few years that if I'm comfortable, I'm not growing.
You know, that's a powerful quote, but also, I mean, powerful lessons that you have learned along the way and brought back with you. So with that, you know, with that clarity, many of us don't reach that, you know, even as we become older, we don't reach that clarity. But can you share a little bit about sometimes from the outside, did you feel that with those opportunities that you grabbed and you took hold of because you knew that's what you needed to do to figure this out, what were some of the pressures that you felt from outside where people were going, what in the world is Becky doing? Was it sort of like, where in the world is Waldo? Where in the world is Becky? You know, so, or did you feel like you really had the support from others around you?
I had both. I mean, it's the same people who were supporting me sometimes were so like, are you ever coming home? That became a repeated conversation between friends and family. And I was torn between wanting to come home and missing friends and family, missing South Dakota. But there was feelings also that I wasn't quite done over there and wanting to continue to meet people. And I think there was even a fear because that became, China is what became familiar, and living back in South Dakota was unfamiliar because I hadn't done it in so many years. And I think there was a little bit of admittedly some complacency with, it's easier to continue to add years over there because that's what I knew and that's what I was comfortable with. And there were definitely fears of what I'd be giving up by living over there versus coming home, and just striking that balance of, am I ready to make that another even bigger jump, not just from city to city, but back to another country and reestablish myself. And it was always on my mind, but continually just, I'm not done yet. I'm going to add one more year. And I actually think in a way the circumstances that forced me back here was a blessing because it really, like other challenges in the past, it forced me to change again and adapt and maybe grasp for what this next step is going to be.
You know, one of the things about knowing yourself well. And to Mel's point, I'm not sure that we really spend a lot of time thinking about this, are the deep-seated values. And those values, they actually have a prioritization. I mean, like, you can't value everything exactly the same. And when people say, oh, I value all of that equally, you know, not necessarily. So in order to really know ourselves is to spend some time kind of thinking about, okay, what are these top things that matter? Because like you said, in the end, you have to choose which direction are you going to go. So for you, did you start to see, okay, these values are starting to, these are something I want to hang on to. They're a part of me. I'm going to have them my whole life and I need them to emerge as more of a priority. What was that like for you?
Being forced to look more towards the long term and realizing I wasn't getting some of those things over in China was comforting, like, oh, there it is. But it was also kind of disconcerting, like, oh, great, now I have to face this. And how am I going to achieve that? What do I need to achieve? And then realizing I'm looking at possibly an upward battle. But the goal at the end of the tunnel or at the top of the mountain, what have you, is much more worth it for that. But there's still a lot of fear of, am I going to be able to achieve that? Am I able to take those necessary steps, or are we going to fail? And I think that's a very human emotion, that we know what we want to achieve, but knowing even just where to begin or take those first steps.
So in understanding yourself, like just in knowing you, like I know that one of your values is connection and family and having this community around you. Now your community could be a worldwide community, but then also you have this really strong value of exploration and, you know, kind of curious about the world. How do you see those coming together now at this point? The pandemic brought you back to South Dakota, but how do you see that playing out for you so your true self can continue to be present? Because some people don't want you to talk about all that international travel.
Day-to-day life, I've been very blessed that I have a core group of friends here who have supported me through my whole journey over there. And I can talk about my travels and I can share my photos and they're open and they're curious and they ask and they allow me to express myself and be 100% my true self. And they've been immeasurably helpful that I can talk about my day, they can talk about their day. And at the end, just realizing I might be in a different country and eat a little bit more rice than they do. So that's helped significantly with the transition back here, that I can continue to talk about adjusting to life back here. But even more so, what I've been extremely blessed and what I was hoping to find and actually did find was, my hope was to find a job that I could start to build my roots back here, rebuild my roots back here in South Dakota, but continue to explore. And by the very fortunate circumstances, I was able to apply and be interviewed and accept a job at Northern State University up in Aberdeen to be their international admissions and recruitment director. And what that's going to allow me to do is to continue to work and help and with international students and the community, but also be able to bring that to a fantastic community like Aberdeen and to hopefully open other people's worlds to other perspectives. And so I get a little bit of both and then hopefully eventually get to travel a little bit. But if anything, just continue to be challenged by different perspectives. And I'm over the moon and so excited to try this different challenge. But it's like everything came full circle, that I get roots in South Dakota, I get the international and get to move forward in that way. And who knows if that would have happened had I not been forced out of my comfort zone and been forced in circumstances and fortunate circumstances as much as the pandemic is, but there's a lot of silver linings that came out of what's happened the last few months.
You know, you're saying that you're over the moon and you're thrilled about it. I bet Northern is thrilled as well. I mean, to find somebody with your background and expertise in South Dakota is, what a blessing for them.
Yeah, and fluent in Mandarin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not something, you know, that you find every day, that's somebody who's going to apply for those jobs. So I think it's a two-way blessing for sure. So Becky, you're back in South Dakota. You're an international traveled woman. You're single. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you're thinking about that next step, because now you're thinking about your roots. You're thinking about, you know, that this is the place you want to be. And what do you envision for yourself? And how do you feel about that within the space of being that single woman who's quite worldly and well-versed? I'm just curious.
Well, some of it admittedly is starting to explore and meet people and been talking and reconnecting. And there was a lot of fear with that too, that wondering if I was going to be able to reconnect or people were going to understand. But I've been very blessed in meeting several that can understand me, because more and more people, especially in the last decade, people from South Dakota have been abroad and have different experiences, whether through travel or through military or through business. And I found a hunger with a lot of people who have had international experiences, but wanting somebody to relate to, even just to talk to in conversation, that, yes, I get what you went through. Yes, I get that you had these crazy experiences. And, oh yeah, I experienced that too. I've met several different people from different networking events, or like even last summer through different things with my family, and was both pleasantly surprised, but also felt like I could have this connection. So to move forward with that is just keeping an open mind and also being receptive to what experiences people have had in the last decade back here in South Dakota too. And what can I learn from them, and going through some of those things that I haven't had and being able to learn through their eyes of whether it's starting a family or going through different jobs and even moving around the country. So it's been wonderful to be back and meet these people.
You know, you talked a little bit about the last decade or so of your life being a single woman, and then talking to single women in China and the development of that identity and really accepting yourself, like, I'm okay with who I am right now, but yet feeling some pressures, like self-doubt, like, am I okay, really, if I don't have all of these things? Talk about how you've kind of worked through some of that in your development.
You want certain things, but realizing what is important and not wanting certain things just for the sake of having it, because either having been through difficult situations and really holding on to what's valuable, it might be not wanting to get married for the sake of getting married, or not wanting a certain job just for the sake of having a job. But while having that stability is really important, it's just a really hard balance sometimes, because you wonder, if you don't have those things at a certain point in life, is there something wrong, or haven't I not achieved that? But ultimately it comes down to trying to remind myself, and doing a ton of reflection and ton of different reading, that just our lives all take different paths, and our lives are not cookie cutters, that one size does not fit all, that there's tons of different circumstances, whether it's your family, whether it's job, whether it's your health, whether it's different choices you make to travel. And those, everyone's going to have their own very unique path they want to follow. And that is fantastic. And that's what makes us unique and beautiful. And we can learn from each other and explore. And just because my life doesn't go as the same way as yours doesn't mean one is better or worse than the other. It just means we have more experiences and stories to share and to grow from one another. And it's, I think, really important for all of us to remind ourselves of that, that just because my life doesn't look like yours doesn't mean one is better. It's your path and you own it, and you get to really try and choose and build it up how you want it to be.
You know, Becky, sometimes it's easy to fall into not only what's expected of us, but we get into a situation, then it feels safer to stay in that situation. And I think that, you know, some of the things that I took from you, even as we talked before and as you're talking today, is the advice that it's okay to take that risk. In fact, I'm sitting here, I've had this little plaque on my desk for years, and it says, do one thing every day that scares you. And I think you've exemplified that in do things every day that might not have felt comfortable. So as you did that, I know, and maybe we're reiterating some of this, but you have really embraced the idea that it's okay to get out of your comfort zone. What is that advice that you can give to women when you talk about that, that, you know, when you make those choices, that things are going to be okay? Because I think that's what's scary. Are things going to be okay?
It is really scary. And it's weighing the advantages and disadvantages and what ultimately you want to get. And even if you try and fail, I reference a lot of quotes, but another one that I really like is that success and failure are both not final. It's one stage, but even if you fail at something, that's okay. Take what you learn from it and move forward. And it's a way easier said than done. And while you're going through the pit of failing one thing or another and wondering how you get out, but it's through forcing yourself to look, focus back on that light at the end of the tunnel. But what's even more uncomfortable is I have been in situations where I've tried to conform myself into this box, and I thought it would make other people happy and it would make me happy. And I thought that I'd get what I want that way. But by forcing myself into this box, I was really uncomfortable and either neglecting or cutting out things that were really important to me. I don't want to go so far as to say it's like a time bomb, but it becomes really uncomfortable and more like these things in the back of your head kind of fester. And then you just want to explode like, no, this isn't me. And so big advice I would just give to anybody that I've learned is to be anybody other than yourself is a disservice to yourself. And not only that, it's a disservice to the rest of the world because you're being disingenuous to yourself, and it's not healthy for your own mind. And once you're free and able to get into that flow and to express yourself, you're just going to blossom and shine, and people are going to gravitate towards that.
So Becky, you have raised a really, really good point because, and I think it's hard to believe, you know, that sometimes we think if we tamp ourselves down and try to conform, and you talk about, you know, getting yourself into that box, and yet only being authentic is where the fun really starts and people really want to be with you and you really want to be with yourself. But yet, why, you know, what's your thinking? Like, tell us a little bit about when you were trying to conform more. And you talk about this ticking time bomb, and tell us how that felt. Like, what were some of the feelings that you had when you were tamping yourself down? Because I think it's an important message to talk about with women.
I was starting to feel more and more caged, like just being in a bird cage was the more I went through a period where I was trying to alter how I was acting, how I was thinking, speaking, even, trying to conform a certain way aesthetically. And the harder I tried to grasp onto and push myself into this, the more I felt just like, I just want to prefer like run and spread my wings and all of that. And once I did finally let go of that cage, it was just so freeing. But it was also scary because like, okay, now I don't have this direction, because the cage in itself was ultimately a goal. And I kind of knew what the expectations were, but I knew also when retrospect, it wasn't comfortable. So then I had to go through another phase of like, okay, I'm seeking to be more myself and I know what's more important to me, but there's fear and sometimes in that freedom of where do I want to go and what do I want to choose, and having that responsibility to yourself and sometimes to others, where are you going to take yourself? And so a lot of journaling and self-reflection and then continuing to explore and talking to people allowed me to continue to ground myself, but by being grounded, I'm not chained, if that makes any sense.
Well, you know, there's this wonderful quote that has been in my mind always from Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen. She wrote this wonderful book called Kitchen Table Wisdom. And there was this, she was describing this situation for herself, but this line that said, I realized that anything I had ever let go of had claw marks in it. And so it's like we're clinging so tightly to trying to be something we're not, in something that isn't comfortable, not living out our true self. And so when you finally just open up your hands and let go, you can sometimes see how tightly you're hanging on. Mm-hmm. And that was such a visualization for me to go, oh my goodness, there's just claw marks in this. Like, mm-hmm. I'm hanging on to something that isn't the right fit for me anymore.
I was just gonna say, I think China in a lot of ways was that for me, that I was clinging so hard to it. And China will always be in my heart and wanting to return to it. But being forced back, I think I realized how hard I was holding on to things there because I was comfortable, and in ways that held me back from moving, taking those next steps. And I continue to hope to be involved with international affairs and be able to travel internationally. But I think I was holding on to certain aspects of that so hard that it became blinders to what other possibilities were out there.
So here's the reality. That I think some of us have to think about, though, that I want us to really talk through with women, because they're listening to you and going, oh yeah, but I'm, you know, here I am. I'm you know, in wherever it might be, or it might be, you know, urban America, it might be rural America, and I'm just stuck. You know, I'm in this job and, you know, if I do this, my financial stability, or I'm in a relationship. How can we help women to say, but this isn't, you know, we're not suggesting that you quit your job tomorrow and you jump off and you go to Europe and spend a month, you know, wandering around. How can we help women and give advice to them about what they can do, though, those baby steps that can feel freeing, to really discover who they are and what's important to them?
baby steps wise, some of it could even be just having conversations with like real and sometimes vulnerable. It's very uncomfortable to be vulnerable, but conversations with other people, women in their community, or even the internet. There's different groups out there that people can share their experiences. Reading's been very helpful for me, listening to different podcasts, but starting just to try something a little bit different every day of maybe exploring and doing some research into whatever your passion is, and then starting to see if there's people you could connect with. And maybe by making that connection, even if it's remote, because right now we're doing different phone calls and stuff like that, but seeing if there's people you can link up with and explore those, whether it's like a craft or if it's a profession or if you want to go back to school, but which is also a huge step, but is it something that you can tie into? And people make things in their life priority, and there is a way, I think, to balance. You can balance your family, because family is ultimately one of the most important things, but also what are your interests and what are your passions? And then is there ways that you can get involved if you're interested with different organizations? Or can you, for some who want to travel, just start saving up a little bit every month and putting that towards something? But it's looking towards what is priority in your life, and maybe just even doing some journaling and reflecting, and hopefully you feel empowered to have the people in your life to that'll support and encourage that. And I've been immensely blessed to have a community and friends and family who support that.
But I think one of the things for you, Becky, is you talked about it earlier, that in order to do this and to take that step for yourself, you have to mitigate a little bit of fear. And you've faced that head on at a very young age, and traveled as a woman by yourself, you know, in other countries, just take off, do it, establish new homes in different cultures, in different places. What advice can you give, or just some reflection and thinking, more than advice, just how do you start to break through some of that fear, even for those baby steps?
I was so focused on what the adventure ahead was going to be and what the possibilities were. And I am a planner by nature. And so making sure I had like a well-established like organization I was traveling to. And I always had a plan for the next place I was going to go to. But some of it I've learned through the years is there's always going to be that like, well, what if I fail? But there's also, what if I succeed? What if I don't take this step, will I ultimately regret it? And missing that opportunity. And there's been several instances through my life in the past decade of, well, if I don't do it now, like I may never do it. And I have the added benefit that of not having a mortgage or certain things that will really, really tie me down. So I have a little bit more flexibility with that. But, and I admit that, but ultimately I think it does come down to that. Like so often we're afraid of, well, what if I fail? But then it's, well, what if we succeed? What if I take the steps and I succeed? Then what?
Yeah, that's really powerful, Becky. I mean, I think that that's what holds us back so many times is just a fear. And so, you know, the fear of failure, but there's also a fear of almost being successful. And then what and how is the rest of the world going to perceive us as well? So those are things that we need to work through. And you definitely have been so inspiring to both of us, but I know that your story and your message is really inspiring to the rest as well.
And tied back into the failure thing, what I would also encourage with it, I've had a lot of failures in this last, and in that moment, it's just like, why did I go through this? Why did I make this decision? But ultimately, it's actually the experiences I've had from growing from those failures and learning experiences from the past 8.5 years. The learning from those failures and growing from it, what I would do differently in the future has actually aided me to get some of the things I've had more recently and helped me be stronger at pursuing things, even the last 2 years, that it's come full circle. Like, oh, I went through those things and it's helped build me up to, if I hadn't gone through those failures, I wouldn't have achieved what I have today.
Well, and Becky, we just We just want to thank you so much for being on the show and really highlighting that it's only in uncovering your true self, both through the successes and the failures, and learning from them and dusting yourself off and cutting through the fear again, where we can live that authentic life that's really us, which you talked about. That's the only way to be a service to yourself and to the world. I mean, there's just really no other way to be. And really encouraging other women to not hide themselves. And that even at the youngest of age, and this is something Mel and I have talked about, it's worth it to spend some time in reflection and conversation and reading to get clear about what your true values and your true self is all about. So in the choices that you're making, it's based on you and not what other people think about for you. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both.
We appreciate you being here, and we really appreciate everyone that listened in to this Influential She podcast. We hope you're all doing well out there during this time of pandemic. As is typical for us, we like to leave you with a question at the end of our podcast. Have you spent a lot of time sitting down and thinking about your truest self, your truest values, the things that make your heart sing, the ways of being for yourself in the world that cause you to have immeasurable joy and feel lots and lots of flow? We encourage you to go after it. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Influential She. We hope you'll do it again. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.